Praise God. Isn't that a brilliant testimony? And if God can use Kaz and if God can use me, anybody. It's just making ourselves available, isn't it? Just to add, bit you missed out, but she said to me, I've just got faith, you know, because a lot of these kids hear voices. You know, just encouraging them to self-harm, essentially. And she said, I've just got faith for it. I take authority. Three or four you've seen, they've told you, I'm hearing voices. And she just takes authority in the spirit. Lo and behold, these voices stop. Come on. The world need us, church, but they need us to believe who we are and what we have. I'm going to speak this morning on hearing his voice, the voice of the shepherd, and being led. And we all, you know, we wouldn't be here if we didn't want to hear the shepherd's voice, would we? And, you know, you wouldn't be tuning in online if you didn't want to hear the shepherd's voice. But there are a lot of others that compete for our attention. Our own reasoning speaks to us. Other people's reasoning, the way they think, what they want, this powers of persuasion, you know. Of course, the enemy speaks. We were hearing about him speaking to kids. Non-Christians, but my gosh, demons speak, always have done, always will until their end. But the enemy speaks to believers too, and his goal, he is hell-bent on leading us away from God and his great plan. And so the one voice we must hear, essential and elevate above all others, is the voice of our good shepherd. And you know this psalm very well, all of you, but Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then it goes on, he makes me lie down. I'm going to stop there. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down. Think of it. He makes me lie down. And what I want to say really this morning is, when you hear the shepherd's voice, he kind of brings you to a rest on the inside, doesn't he? He makes you lie down. And life is full of unrest, things that make us anxious, things that disturb us, worries about our circumstances that we're in presently, worries about the future, striving to get something or striving to get somewhere, and it's pressure, pressure, pressure. And these external problems, they can get on the inside of us, can't they? And just create more stress, and you can feel worn out before you've even put one foot on the floor first thing in the morning. Do you know what I mean? Can't you? And it's just these external things that have gone round and round in your head, and you're anxious. You're disturbed on the inside. Psalm 37, verse 8 says, do not fret. It only causes harm. See, he made us, doesn't he? He knows how we're made and how we function best. And he knows that anxiety and pressure is really bad for us. Do not fret. It only causes harm. And this week, I will admit, I've been really anxious about my dog. He's been quite poorly, and honestly, every time I look at him, I can feel anxious because he's struggling. You know, he's struggling and suffering really at the moment. And I can get anxious giving him his medication. He's got to have it four times a day. I can't even pin him down to do it. And San or PJ have been coming round to help me hold him, to kind of give him this medication. And it's like that. I'm not being unrealistic. There are stuff, all sorts of things that happen in life that cause us to be anxious and disturbed. And the Lord just said to me, you can't hear me when you're anxious. You can't hear him when you're anxious. For me, it was a light bulb moment, because I thought, you know what? Not only does anxiety make you feel awful, it's like you just don't hear. Your ears get dull and kind of deafened to hearing his voice. And so above all things and in all things, you know, in trouble, when you're in trouble and all you can see is trouble ahead, or when people cut across you and they do you wrong, or if you're confused and in a real fog and your brain's working really hard to try and find the right solution, We need to hear him. We need to hear his voice. And of course, the only way we hear his voice is to come to him. Matthew 11, Jesus says, come to me. Come to the person, not the principles, you know. 5 ways to live an emotionally healthy life, or 10 ways to live a successful life. There are so many books out there. Some of them are good, not all. Some of them are good, but so many of them put us to work. And, you know, before you've even got through the first chapter, you feel tired. I can't even remember the first 3, let alone the next 24. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, oh, I love that Jesus makes this life simple, actually. Come to me. Come to me. Just listen to what I've got to say on this. And it takes discipline to sit with him and push these things to one side, doesn't it? You know, these things that are causing us to have anxious minds and heavy hearts. And we have to drag our eyes off the problem back onto Jesus. Fix them on him. I find worship helps so much, you know, with that. And I was praying about Reg, my dog, this week. You'll have done this, we all have. And I was asking and asking, and to be honest, I was praying the same prayer over and over. Heal him, Lord, deliver him from this. I know you can, I know you want to. Heal him from this. Deliver him from this, Lord. I know you can, I know you... And I kept... But you know what? In my head, I'm thinking about him and his problems and his, you know, this diagnosis he's had. And I heard the Lord just say, a bit like the song we were singing this morning, look at me and receive it. In other words, stop asking and start receiving. And we do a lot of asking, often, and not much receiving. And actually, the asking and receiving needs to happen in the one prayer. Smith Wigglesworth says, prayer is not only an asking, but a receiving. Matthew 11, 24, whatever things you ask for in prayer, believe in that moment you receive them and you'll have them. And I just honestly, like a child, I put my hands out like I was receiving a present like that. And I just said, thanks, Lord. Thanks for his healing. I receive it. And bit by bit, he's on the mend. Not there yet, but I believe he will. But we got to receive it. And everything we receive from him, it's a gift, isn't it? It's not something we work for, it's actually given. And the kingdom of God is all about his grace. We have to really know that. It's not about our works. We can get so into a mindset of if I do X, Y, Z, God will do. Now I know, you know, there's a lot of conditional words, promises in the Bible, but it's the grace that he gives us that enables us to believe. And it's the grace that he gives us that enables us to obey. And so it's all him. Yeah. We can't actually take credit for anything. He gives us his ability to believe him. And he gives us his ability to follow him. Work out our salvation. It's grace power. And so our focus and dependence needs to be on him, not us. On what he's doing, not what we're doing. Turn with me, if you've got your Bible, to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, verses 9 and 10. I can't hear many Bibles opening. I'm sure you are at home. Right, okay, Hebrews 4, verse 9. There remains, therefore, a rest. Just say rest. Isn't that a lovely word? There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who's entered his rest, God's rest, has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. He wants all of us to enter his rest and live in it. And it happens by believing what he says, believing he's at work. So, when I believe God's at work healing Reg, I relax. I come to rest. And when you believe God's at work answering your prayers, you relax. You come to rest. And what's the point of asking if we don't believe he's going to answer? I had this thought many years ago. It's like picking up the phone, giving somebody a ring, not expecting them to pick up. Why would you? I mean, why? It's just, it's a nonsense. But when we pray, he picks up, he answers, you know, and he speaks to us. And we just need to listen for the voice. So when you pray, listen for him to speak back. And then you believe what he says to you. And believing what he says, whatever it is, into your personal circumstances and situation, that when you believe that, it brings you into a supernatural rest. You can't explain it. It's not of this world. It's of his kingdom, his world. But you feel it. You feel his rest, don't you? You feel his peace. It's the rest of faith, the rest that comes from trusting him. He makes us lie down. Think of that. I love that. He makes me lie down. And so the ability to rest, and I mean really rest, it comes from him. It's an internal rest. It's an internal state of heart and head, heart and mind. Now, of course, this doesn't mean he wants us to rest from doing. You know, kind of lie down for the rest of our lives and do nothing. It's not that. He expects us to be busy for his kingdom. But it is a rest from self-effort. Praise God. It's a rest from striving in all aspects of life. Even being a good Christian, it's a rest from all of that. All of it. Oh, just trusting the ability that he gives us. And I want you to think of one thing. When I was preparing this message this week, the Lord said to me, just think of the one thing, the thing in your life that you find the most difficult. Just think of it. What if Jesus could walk into the room then, or wherever it is you are, where you need to do that one thing, that in your home life, in your work life, in a relationship, whatever it is, what if Jesus could walk in and take over from you? So instead of you doing it, he does it. He moves your body. He moves your mind. He moves your emotions even. Like the hand in a glove. I heard many years ago, it was Chrissy Chapman, many of you will know of her, but she was explaining to the children she had in her orphanage when one of the children, he'd actually died, gone to be with the Lord. He was a believer. But she, of course, all the children were grieving. And the way she explained it to the children is, he was just the hand in the glove. And this body that's left, that's just the glove. But the real him, he's gone to be with Jesus. I love that. I've never forgotten that. But I'm praying more and more, Lord, be the hand in my glove, right? This glove that's my body and my soul, you move it. You move it any way you want. You live your life through me. I surrender. Oh, what a point of freedom. I tell you, more and more, as I surrender my thoughts, my ideas, the affections of my heart, my preferences even, my convenience, as I yield that and let him move the body and the soul, it's such a freedom. It's such a peace and a joy. Wherever God's at work, righteousness, peace and joy. Yeah. It'll be right and good, and it'll bring peace and it will bring joy. You get happy because wherever the king's ruling, it's like his trademark. There's peace and joy, there's righteousness, peace and joy going on. In you and through you. And so this kind of yielding and trust, it brings a fresh release of his presence, really, a fresh filling of his presence. And you start to become more aware of him. We hear so often, and we know in theory, Jesus lives in me, but it's the yielding that brings you into the experience of his presence. And do you remember, he said to Moses, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And so one of the benefits, really, one of the major benefits of his presence, a consciousness of his presence, is rest. You know, like a real heavy snowfall. Oh, yes, it's lovely, isn't it? It's like it has a It silences. Somehow it's a strict. You can't explain it unless you've experienced it, but I'm sure most of us have, if not all of us. It has this deadening of sound. Just, it brings like a calmness. The noise is calmed. That's what his presence brings. I mean, you know, it can be all going on the outside, but it's like calmness on the inside. We need to come to rest from all these negative emotions, this striving and struggling, this anxiety and stress. And you know, when you're in it, you kind of exude that atmosphere. You know, when you're around a stressy person, they exude that atmosphere of stress, don't they? He doesn't want us to be like that, primarily because he doesn't want us to be like that. But it's no advert for him, is it? You know, I love Jesus, but my gosh, I'm kind of running around with the jitters all the time. It's not great. And you know, I'm not being unrealistic. It's not that God does it all and we do nothing. You know, if you want to clean your house, he's not going to do it without you. But if you believe in his grace to do the job, you have the strength, you have the patience, you can do it with a smile on your face without complaining. It's a wonderful thing. And if we believe in his grace in us to do anything, or every aspect of life, you experience him. You experience his grace, and it brings you, me, to this internal rest. He wants it so much for us. He's the lover of our souls. Think of it. He loves you even more than you love yourself. For those of you who don't love yourselves enough, my gosh, he loves you so very much. And he doesn't want you to live stressed. And he doesn't want you to live anxious, troubled minds, troubled hearts. He wants all his people to live in the rest that his presence brings and that believing him brings. We don't have to work hard for rest. Praise God, wouldn't that be ironic? We don't have to work for it. It's something that comes to us. But it comes to us through our contact with him, our relationship with him. Come to me, Jesus says, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's like the weights are taken off. It brings relief. Relief. But verse 29 of that Matthew 11, he goes on to say, take my yoke upon you. We heard last week, his yoke actually is his teaching and his lifestyle. So the rest comes when we take his teaching on board and do life the way Jesus does it. Learn from me, he says. I'm gentle and humble in heart. Probably you do this, but if you don't, let me encourage you. Get into the habit of asking him questions. You know, learn from me, he says. In difficult times, Lord, what do I do? When nothing seems to be changing and nothing seems to be working, Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying? My head's telling me this, other people are telling me that, Google's telling me this. What are you saying? Don't assume you know the way. We need the voice of the shepherd. Many of you know, for over 2 years now, really, I've had a problem with my eyes. I aren't going to go into huge detail, but it has been a really debilitating thing. It's been a struggle. I am getting better, by the way. Praise God. But anyway, I was... Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks for that clap. Praise God, he doesn't want us to suffer with anything. But I was going through Psalm 23 one day, not so long ago, just over a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, just praying it, Lord, you're my shepherd, I shall not want. And I just stopped there, and I just said, but Lord, to be honest, I am in want. You say, you're my shepherd, I shall not want, but I really am in want. So that's not working out for me right now. you know, he doesn't mind honesty. So long as it's not with a bad heart, you know. I am in want. I just kind of left. I prayed, Lord, help me. Show me the way out of this place of need, because it's I'm struggling with this. And I didn't hear anything. That was that. 2 days later, I was lying under an eye mask. I have this thing that I stick in the microwave for 25 seconds. Put on my eyes. It kind of, anyway, it helps. I was lying under this eye mask, just saying, well, Lord, help me. And if there's something I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing, or that I need to do, that I'm not doing, show me. Anyway, do you know what I heard? Well, you won't know, because it was a surprise to me. I heard just simply this, Jairus' daughter. I thought, well, that is random. And I thought I knew the story, but I thought I'm going to refresh my memory on the story. And I read all about it. And of course, she was raised from the dead. She'd gone so far, the girl died. I mean, that's as bad as it can get, isn't it? And Jesus raised her. But then he said, and give us something to eat. Do you remember the story? It came. You might not have joined the dots, but for me it was instant. Right. Lord, you're going to heal me, but I need something natural. The healing's coming from your world, but I need something from this world then. That's what you're saying. Anyway, to cut a long story short, having recently moved house, I went to a new GP. And he said, but have you tried this? Put me on a different type of medication from this world, natural. And lo and behold, bit by bit, it's starting to work. Now, he shepherded me through. He led me to that. I wouldn't have even gone to the doctor had I not heard that. But there are things in life he knows. He knows the answer. Sometimes it's a direct thing straight from him, and we're so thankful for those miracles. But sometimes we need something from this earth, but we need to hear his voice. Every situation's different. Come to me, learn from me. He's the only wise God. Daniel 2:22 says, he reveals deep and secret things. The things that are in darkness, he knows about them. Light dwells with him. He sees and knows everything. So we need to ask him questions and we need to listen for the replies. Have our ears open. So if you're anxious, remember if you're anxious, you struggle to hear. Hand your anxieties over. We need to deal with those things quick, not live with them. They make us ill. They're bad for us. The other point I wanted to make is if you're distant from the Lord in any way, you know, if there's an area or maybe more than one area of your life that isn't yielded, let me tell you, the enemy will be active. And those voices we heard about at the start, demonic voices, they get more deceptive and they louder, to be honest. The enemy's active and the enemy's more vocal. And what happens is we get dull of hearing. If you're not yielded to Jesus, it's like putting your fingers in your natural ears. You can't hear so well. We can't hear him so well. And I just urge you, don't give him a foothold, the enemy. Don't give him a foothold. Submit to God. He's wiser than us. He's stronger than us. And he really knows what's best. He can be trusted. This submission to the Lord, it's more than a prayer. It's a way of life, isn't it? It's a dedication that has to be walked out each day. But when we live like that, we have power over the enemy. We can rebuke the enemy has to flee. But it's all to do with having our lives aligned under the shadow of the Almighty. And then our spiritual ears are unplugged. We can hear his voice. You know, we're designed to hear the voice of God. And when we're walking with him, yoked to him, we hear him really easily. Really easily. So I really want to urge you and encourage you. If you're not, just get yoked to Jesus and then you hear him clearly. I mean, really clearly. And surprising things and detailed things. He'll speak into the issues of life, circumstances of life. And you know, the more you want to hear him, the more you do. I find the more I want to hear his voice, it's like it attracts his voice. I hear him more. And so we've got to be intentional about developing this sensitivity to hear his voice. And anything that dulls our hearing, identify it. That's the first victory. And get it out. You know, series that you might watch on TV, friendships even, you know, that kind of make you more naturally minded and more at home in the world, habits, routines, just the stuff of life. I'll just tell this story very quickly. We've got a friend, and this is going back many years, probably 25 years ago. She's not long a Christian, and she was a smoker. And she smoked I don't know, not loads, but 5 or 6 cigarettes a day. And she got it down to 1 cigarette after lunch every day. And that was her thing. She thought she was doing well. You know, she was like, oh, me and Jesus, we're all right with that. But you know, and that went on for a few years. But it was like this one area of life she had ring-fenced and she wasn't prepared to bow. She wasn't giving up that one thing. And you could look at it and think, well, that's a small thing. It's just one. She's done so well. She's given up the other four. But that was that. But the Lord really spoke to her very clearly about it and said, you're jarring and I can't work in the way I want to work. You're not hearing my voice in the way I want you to hear me because of this one little issue of rebellion. That foothold, really, for the enemy. He's got foot in the door in that. Anyway, she said, okay, Lord. She gave it up. But she said, I cannot tell you. I remember her saying, I cannot tell you the lightness. It was like the weight. I didn't even know I had a weight on my shoulders. But she said it was like a weight had been taken off my shoulders. I was like liberated. You know, the birds are singing brighter. The flowers are more beautiful. It's like everything became a bit more technicolor. Life was better because she'd yielded. And she started hearing his voice. Much more clearly, much more clearly. And this is the point. There are things that hinder us. In our own minds, they may not necessarily be really bad things. But, you know, these little areas that we kind of keep for ourselves, ring fence, he just says, look, why are you doing this? You are harming yourself. You know, there's a proverb. Oh, he who is wise loves his own soul, something like that, you know. It's wise to surrender. You're actually loving yourself in that because God and all of his goodness can come through for you. You're actually shutting the door on him and what the great and good things he wants to do to you and through you in that. So anyway, nearly finished. But so identify the hindrances. And I just want to say, identify the helps as well. I mean, most of us know the things that help us, but we don't get around to doing them somehow. They can get pushed out of the day. Prayer, worship, doing the things he's already told us to do, all these things. And the Spirit, I have this so strong all the time at the moment, that the Spirit in me yearns jealously. The Spirit in you is yearning jealously. He doesn't want to share us with the world. Amen. He doesn't want to share you with the world. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture, and we need the shepherd because we have a tendency to stray. Isaiah 53, each turning away to his own way. And so we need the voice of the shepherd so that we don't go with our own thinking, our own reasoning, our own version, really, of Christianity, which ends up being more about you than him. Which ends up being more about you than him. And your flesh is like mine. It always wants to lead me off and away from Jesus. But, you know, there will always be excuses not to listen and not to follow. But really, if we hear him and step out on what he tells us, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guards our hearts and our minds. You might still have trouble around you, but you have this internal rest in heart and mind. I've very nearly finished. So I essentially just, you know, there may be several things that you need to sort in your life. But I want you just to close your eyes just for a few moments. We're nearly finished. But I want you to identify one hindrance that is maybe causing your hearing to become dull. Maybe just kind of taking the sensitivity to his voice away. One thing, whether it's a habit, working more than you should even, a relationship, something that you're into on social media or TV. We just need to get these things out because I tell you what, nothing is worth hanging on to if it stops you hearing his voice. Nothing in this world. Paul said it, I count it as rubbish compared to knowing him. Why hang on to that when you could know him and hear him, have the good shepherd lead you? Now I want you to identify one help, something that will grow your appetite for him. Prayer, of course. Jesus time. There's no shortcut to a relationship with him. He wants time with you. But maybe it's like faith friends, you know. Maybe you just need to invest a bit more in your faith friends and spend more time with them than people who cause you to cool off towards Jesus. Maybe it's your routines of life. Swap in radio too, or whatever it is you listen to, for some praise and worship. Let's stand together. If you've identified a hindrance or a help or both, just raise your hand. If you haven't, ask the Lord to help you, okay? But I just encourage you this morning, get rid of the hindrances, just kick them out, call time on them, just enough. And say, okay, Lord, I am committed to pushing that out and laying hold of this. Also, this one thing that is going to help me pursue you like you've called me to. At the end of the meeting, I want to encourage you just to share that. If you have something that you've identified, just share it with somebody you're comfortable with. Or later on in the day, maybe you need to phone somebody and say, do you know what? I just want to be upfront in the light. The Lord's identified this. And I'm just telling you because I want to make it concrete in me. And I am taking responsibility to do this. Share it with a faith friend. Again, if you haven't identified anything, ask the Lord. You show me, Lord, because at the minute it's all a blur to me. Help me see black and white, not grey. What do I need to push out? What do I need to do more? He wants us at rest, church. He makes us lie down. Think of it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down. If you are in want, like I was, ask him, Lord, show me how. From this place of want, show me how to get your provision. Lay hold of it. He brings rest to our souls. We need him. More than ever, we need him. The world needs us to hear him and be in tune with him. I'm just going to pray. Lord, I thank you. You're the shepherd of your people. I thank you, Lord, for the desire that you have put in us to be led by you and to hear your voice. You know, if you're saved, you actually want to follow him. You've been made a new creature and you actually want to please God. You actually want to follow him. Lord, I pray that you will open our ears to hear more than we ever have, that we will hear your voice and follow you. Thank you. It's green pastures, still waters. You restore our souls. You're such a good shepherd, Lord. And even when we go through the valleys and the darkness, you're with us. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And I thank you, Lord, before every enemy in our lives, you lay a table. I thank you there's a table of good things. And I pray, Lord, as we take the time to sit and commune with you at your table, that we can take these good things that will change us. Change us. Change the way we think. Change us. Change the way we believe. Change even our ability. So instead of thinking that we can't, we find that we can because you've given us the faith to believe that we can. Help us, Lord. Help us, help us, help us. Help us not live without your presence, cut off from you. And help us not do a day without rest. When we're not at rest, when we're all anxious and stressed, let us not go on like that, Lord. Help us to be quick to recognize it in ourselves and come back to you, hearing your voice, being led by you, and living with that supernatural peace and rest of heart and mind for our blessing and for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, and let it be. Okay. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Have a blessed week hearing his voice and being led.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.